Welcome back to Hakuna Lorcana, a worry-free podcast about the Disney stories we love and the Lorcana cards they inspire. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Katie. And today, on Bonus Feature Friday, we have our very first guest.
Yay! So,
like we mentioned last week, so our goal for Bonus Feature Friday is we want to be able to dive into things that we're personally interested in, passionate about, that might not necessarily be directly tied to the movie. And one of the things that both me and Caleb have been floored by is how nice and wonderful everyone in the community has been so far. So, Caleb, who do we have with us today?
So with us today is someone who is undoubtedly a cornerstone of the Lorcana community, one of the hosts of the Live Laugh Lorcana podcast, the one and only Becky. Becky, thanks so much for being on.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. You guys are making me blush. This is crazy. I'm so excited to be here. I know you guys are fairly new to the scene, but immediately Katie and I were like, yes, this is what we needed. So been so excited to see what you guys are doing. So excited to be here. This is awesome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course.
And on my side, I feel like I'm a media celebrity because I'm just like, it's a person in the internet. It's just exciting. So this week's episode, so the Bonus Feature Friday, we always do a little bit after our Wednesday episode. And so this week we're covering Atlantis.
So, Becky, before we even dive into the movie, let's talk about Lorcana on the whole. What's your favorite thing about Disney Lorcana? And what made you decide to start your show with your sister?
So it's hard to pick one thing, I'm going to be honest. I love the community that exists. It's super fun. They've been super welcoming and wonderful. And I feel like I've made like so many connections with people. I'm a stay-at-home mom. So like I don't have a lot of time to like interact with adults. And it's been like just a really fun opportunity to have something I can talk to with other people about. It's just been a ton of fun. And also in terms, because I'm a big Disney fan. I always have been. Our family has been. My dad was like super into animation. And so he just loved Disney. And we would go to Disney World every few years. But I have no TCG experience. So I remember Katie, my sister, she's the like TCG person. And so she was big into Flesh and Blood. She was playing that competitively, like very intensely. She's playing like, you know, 4 or 5 nights a week. And she kind of got burnt out and was like, this seems like something that could be a more casual game. And she was just like, do you want to do this with me? And I was like, I guess so. So here we are. And the goal kind of with our podcast is to kind of increase representation of marginalized genders, because the TCG world has been so generally male dominated. So
yeah
I can attest to that. I played Magic the Gathering about 10 years ago, and it's not always bad. I know sometimes people can be very doom and gloom about other card game communities, but it's intimidating. Like, even at the very least, even if everyone in the room is really nice, you can walk in and be like It's been cool seeing that this community is trying to foster all those kind of diverse, whether it's ages, genders, all that fun things. It's been very exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Becky, you and I are on the same page. This is my first trading card game as well. So kind of like experiencing it with the new set and getting to listen to your podcast and other great content creators. It's been so much fun, and I'm having a great time. It sounds like you're having a great time too. So, you know, it's love of Disney. Yeah. The love of Disney, I think, brings the best out of this community. And that's really what inspired Katie and I, you know, to kind of get our show off the ground, is just kind of remember like why a lot of us got into this game is because we get to play with Simba cards or Cinderella cards, right? You know, things like that.
Yeah. Well, for sure. I feel like, because the IP is so accessible, I think this is going to be a lot of people's first TCG. And I think that's really, really exciting.
Yeah. And I love the family aspect, because like it's multi-generational in my family. So my dad plays Lorcana, and then I do, my sister does, and then my niece plays it. So it's very fun that anybody can kind of jump in at whatever age they're at, which that's been one of my other favorite parts of it so far.
That's wonderful. My kids, I have a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old, so we're not there yet. But I've given them like some cards I have, like, you know, like the Mickeys, the Minis, like extra bulk I have, and like they like to put them in deck boxes and take them out and name everybody, and like that's where we're at right now, and it's very cute.
Well, I'm sure now I'm intimidated, because then, you know, in like 10 years they're gonna be grand champions. They'll be
unstoppable.
Yeah, exactly. So this week, as we kind of discussed, we're talking about the film Atlantis. So what is your background to this film?
Okay, so this movie came out in 2001, so I was 10. And the year before it came out, my family took a trip to Busch Gardens, Virginia. And there is a ride there. I don't know if it's still there. It's called Escape from Pompeii. And so my... Do you know what I'm talking about, Caleb?
No, not specifically, but I have been I've been to Busch Gardens Tampa and love that place. Okay. And I've heard the one in Virginia is also super good. So
yeah, so like the one in Virginia is like European themed, and I think the Tampa one is Africa, Asia.
Yeah.
Africa, okay.
Yeah.
And so I had not heard of Pompeii before, so my dad explained the story to me, and I was like very fascinated that there's, you know, this town and it gets like buried and destroyed, but like so much of it is preserved. And so when the Atlantis trailer first came out, like I was already sold, because it talks about like the Plato's allegory where, you know, a big tsunami takes it out. But in unlike Pompeii, you know, in this movie, it's still like a contained utopia, and I was just so excited about that. I thought it was so cool. So then I finally saw it, and I just absolutely loved it. I love the characters. I like wanted to be Kida. Like, I was trying to make my own language, like Atlantean. Like, it's so fun.
Yeah, I do love that there's like a phase. I feel like it was a prime time in like the late 90s, early 2000s, where like I'm just really into weird history stuff. Yeah. Like I was watching any kind of destroyed civilization, Titanic. I was like, I gotta watch every documentary about the Titanic. I need to know. Yes. Anything sunken, I was like, something was happening in my brain where I needed to know every fact about that. So I can definitely hard relate to the rabbit holes.
Yeah. I still have that fascination. The internet's only gotten better. How many shipwrecks I've read about is staggering.
I know. It's very exciting when you find out about a new one. You're like, well, that's my night's accounted for, guys. I have a Wikipedia date.
100%.
Yeah. And a movie that's just like about an adventure, like a larger than life adventure, is just like so awe-inspiring. Like an impression that the movie has left on me is like when Milo's first getting told about the adventure that they're going to go on, they have the little figurines of like the submarine and like all the ships that are going to go with them. And then you finally see them, like he shows up in person and you see them, and you see him in the ocean. And even on like a little TV screen, you know, even if you didn't see it in theaters, you still get this feeling of like, this is huge. Like this whole movie is just on this huge scale and makes it so compelling.
Yeah. And it was really, I'm sorry, I can't remember. Do you remember when Treasure Planet came out? Was that after Atlantis? I believe 2000, their movie was Emperor's New Groove. And so this was 2001. And this kind of film was such a departure with Disney, kind of, felt like, where it was very action-based. And it wasn't a musical. It wasn't funny. I mean, there are funny parts, of course. But, like, it wasn't. It's, like, a big, epic adventure. And it came at like a really cool time, and you know, because animation was becoming more CGI and stuff like that, and so they leaned into that more, and it was just such a cool thing. And I know, because at the time it was not very, like, it wasn't well received at all, like critics, it was very mixed, but I think looking back on it now, it was such a like zeitgeist of 2001. Like it's fabulous. I love it.
I know. I love that Disney was making movies every once in a while at that time where I was like, what about this? Is this something? And so all of them, I'm like, yes, like Hunchback. I'm like, yes, more. This one, more. And Disney's like, no, that was a one and done, which was kind of sad. But I think Treasure Planet is a spiritual brother to this film in the sense that they both have that kind of like, I don't know, action adventure exploring thing. And so it scratched an itch in my brain for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, like the kind of male protagonist who can't find his place in the world gets sucked into this adventure and a bunch of people are along for the ride, and you're like, let's do it. Like, this is fun.
Yeah. Also, a surprising amount of people die very fast in that movie. That was one I rewatched.
I watched it right before. I watched it this week, and that was probably the first time I've seen it in a while. And I was just like, wow, very casual with the death. Just like,
yeah,
they pull yeah. up Oops. And they're just like, yep, you know, 80% of us are gone now. And everyone's just like, let's keep going.
Yeah. Like, yeah, this happens. You know, they didn't have names, so it's not a big deal. We'll just, yeah, not named characters. So
also, as an adult, I feel like the pacing of the movie, a lot of things feel rushed. I think it would have been really fun to have this as like, this wasn't really a thing then, but like a mini series.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
More. And like all these like side characters have so much rich history that like doesn't get really explored. Like we have that like nighttime, like after we eat, we have a little kiki and they just do like a basic four sentences about their past. And I was like, I need more.
Yeah.
Especially if Joshua Sweet. He's like my favorite. Yeah. He is just such a great character. And I was just like, I need more. Tell me more.
Yeah. I think that's so, it's weird watching movies. Like we talked about this in Lion King, that you remember it being this epic, and then you watch it again as your adult, and you're like, huh, everything's a lot shorter. The characters, they make a big impact. So, like, whatever they do in those five sentences worked, yeah. But it's just crazy that you remember them as like, oh, yeah, that was a main character. And then later you watch it, you're like, all right, so they were in it for a second, yeah. But that's okay. So I think collectively, Atlantis fans, Atlantis heads, I don't know what our name is, but big Atlantis fans, we're freaking out in set three because that's when they started revealing. I can't remember which one was first. I think it might have been the heart of Atlantis, but that was like, it's happening. So of those cards so far, I think we counted before this, there's been 14 cards. Are there any that you're like, this is good. They got this right. This is exactly what I was looking for.
Can I do a long-winded answer?
Yeah, this is your time.
Please do.
Apologies in advance.
Yes. Yeah, you have. This is your soapbox, so stand on it.
As God, probably thank as you. Want
to. We built it for right you.
Now. So one thing I'm really into is like historic fashion, and so yes. This film takes place in 1914, and in general, Disney does like a really beautiful job, kind of capturing the fashions of the time. And I can forgive a lot because of aesthetic choices or whatever, but. The first time that Milo meets Helga Sinclair, she's wearing this like slinky black dress with a big slit up the side. And that is so wildly inappropriate for her to be wearing for the time period. Like, it drives me bananas. It didn't when I was a kid, but as an adult, it does.
And then, yeah, her iconic, she's like, ho, ho, ho. I was like, is this Jessica Rabbit? Were you just like superimposing her from the 1920s and then just being like, you're here.
That's why it feels so out of place. It's very much a Jessica Rabbit character, which is fine. But, like, she's very modern. And even, like, her hair being down, like, that's so inappropriate. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, even, like, later, like, yeah, she wears kind of, like, like, modern fatigues and things
right, because like all even when they're like exploring, like all the men in are wearing kind of like the army issue like rib tank tops, and she's not wearing one, but like Audrey is, so like I have some questions about it, but it's fine. But this the Helga Sinclair femme fatale card, beautiful art by Alice Pizzoli, mm-hmm. who's one of my favorites, and she does something just so beautiful here with this card. This is like taking that kind of original Helga outfit, the black slinky dress, and just like elevating it so high and like making it more period appropriate. And there's like some really fabulous details in here that I want to point out to you guys.
Please.
No, I'm excited. I have the card pulled up. Yeah. So I'm ready to go on this journey.
So, I mean, not that you care, but like the silhouette is still like too fitted for the time, but having this sort of, because you mentioned Titanic, like her evening wear is where we're at, like historically, like Rose from a Titanic, like that's what we should be, that's where we're at, you know. So she has kind of this off the shoulder thing, which is real cute, but the hat she's wearing, the sort of like toque style hat, is very, very high fashion for the time. And she has this sort of like sash, which is kind of hinting at a dropped waist that's going to be coming in fashion really soon. And she has like the feather elements, which are super, super, super cool at the time. Like everybody who's anywhere is doing hats with feathers and stuff like that. I love this little gauzy wrap thing she has. And the best part is she's wearing gloves, because at the time period, if you're leaving your house, you gotta have your hands and head covered. And it's just fabulously beautiful. And I'm just so obsessed with this art. Like, it's so good. I want this.
So you're an expert of this card, clearly. And my question for you is, why does she have one glove off?
I couldn't say. I don't have I don't have a good answer. I like to think of it as like, see, I'm superimposing this Helga onto the first Helga that Milo interacts with. And in that scene, she's wearing gloves, luckily, but inappropriate ones. And, and she's doing her little tease. She's taking off the gloves. She's like, look at here. Look what we got here.
Yeah, okay.
But that art just, it makes me so happy.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, I feel like sometimes they let the artist be like, what do you want to do with it? And I love, that they course corrected a bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was a little sad that the Helga cards, I'm like, oh, how do I fit this in? Like, whenever we did draft on Friday, and I'm like, ooh, that was in one of my packs, but I'm like, I don't know how to use it. So she's, I can see that. There's, maybe we'll build a deck around her.
Yeah, just the Helga deck.
Exactly. So
I have less long-winded things to say about other cards, if you would like to.
No, okay. Please do. Please do.
I just love that card so much. I have to say, like, Kida, Protector of Atlantis, might be some of the best art in the game right now. It's just so gorgeous, this card. And the Enchanted is even more gorgeous. It's just absolutely stunning. Really well done.
Yeah, no, that one, when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's so cool. It's like, I try to, like, not be bewitched by Enchanteds because, you know, once you go down that rabbit hole, how do you stop? Yeah. And the answer is you can't. And I paid for her with money.
Got to have it in the collection, that's for sure. I mean, and all the Enchanteds, you know, once they were finally out, we could see that they're trying to have a similar art style between all of them. But there's something like particularly like just enthralling about this Kida Enchanted card.
Absolutely. It is just art. It is truly art. It's like, it's one of the most beautiful Enchanteds I've ever seen, and it's so good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough beat in this one for sure for a while.
For sure.
But then next set's going to come out. I'll be like, well, they got me again. Just when I'm out, I'm back. Pulled back 100%. In again. So on the flip side, we also kind of want to think about on our show, like, what's next? What's coming? And so were there any that you're like, how did they miss that? How did they not make that card after you saw the cards revealed?
So I would have loved to have seen Mole as a card.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know what he would do, but he's just, like, such an iconic character. And a little disturbing, I found him when I was a little, but, like...
yeah.
I just feel like he has a lot of potential. He's really, really fun. And then in terms of looking ahead, you mentioned earlier, Katie, Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah.
I have been begging for Hunchback of Notre Dame since this game began. That is absolutely my favorite film, Disney film. And, you know, it when that happens, because we know it will, we've willed it to be.
Yeah.
I need to come back and talk about that.
I know. I absolutely need a Frollo. I need a Hellfire.
Yes.
I mean, can you have a card called Hellfire? I don't know.
We'll
but they
out.
Need to have the courage to try. Yeah.
We have Dragonfire. So, what's the difference? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. Hellfire, Dragonfire. Same you know, thing. It's a fire of a different name.
Yeah everybody's scared of Be Prepared. Everybody's scared of Be Prepared, but just wait for Hellfire. Yeah. Just wait for that one. Everyone's going to be quaking in their boots.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All enchanting gypsy women must be discarded. I'm assuming it's that. So yeah, I think you mentioned Mole, and I think Mole would be good for digging for a certain card. That would be fun because
like drawing,
you can like dig through
you
your discard
get
or
item maybe. You
can
stuff like that already. But yeah, Mole would be good.
Yeah, kind of like how Morph can be. You know, anything can shift onto him. Like, I don't know if I know in Pokemon, that's a pretty common thing where you use like a great ball or something like that, and you can look through your deck to find a card. But that'd be, I don't see that being like a very common thing in Lorcana, but I could see it happening like with a card, like a mole or something like that. That would be cool.
Yeah, as like an action or something as well. That would be really cool. And just backpedaling a little bit. I've heard some complaints about the flavor on Heart of Atlantis because it's supposed to be like this big, powerful, like life force, and it's not like a hugely powerful card.
It's somehow less powerful than a paper lantern, which is remarkable. That a
explain a disposable that science.
Yeah, science can't explain how the Heart of Atlantis is less powerful than a disposable novelty lantern. That's a good point. Especially it even says that on there. It's keeping you alive. It's like, is it though?
So good. It's so good.
Kind of like a less powerful Pluto or Doc.
Yeah, there are Pluto's a lot of cards.
Atlantis alive. That's
the
secret.
The new protector of Atlantis is Pluto.
Yeah, it's Pluto in the center. First. He's like.
There's a lot of cards in Lorcana that are like flavor wins for sure, and
so many.
This isn't one of them.
That's like the only reason it's noteworthy is because it isn't, because usually it's so good. That's kind of funny.
I do have a pet peeve with this, with the card Lyle Tiberius Rurk Cunning Mercenary, because I type out all my lists. I don't, it's a sickness where I type out my spreadsheets instead of copy and pasting. And that name, every time I get to it, I'm like, who did this? Very wordy.
Also, that card is villainous, truly. It's like public enemy number one. As soon as I see it on the board, I'm like, nope.
I know, yeah. Not abide that. It's good though. I'm glad that a villain, though, is villainous versus sometimes, like I've said on the podcast, there's characters that I should have no beef with, but now, like, I see Cogsworth, I'm like,
that guy.
You're dead to me.
Yeah.
No Cogsworth in this house. We don't talk about him.
For sure.
Yeah, Emerald.
At least finally they match the villain.
Emerald certainly got a lot of Atlantis love with two out of the, I mean, what's the third super rare in Emerald from this set? But then the Milo legendary.
Shenzi?
Shenzi as well. But yeah, easily Helga forgotten. And Rourke and Milo getting some pretty high rarity cards in Emerald for this set. So that's definitely also the Atlantis color.
For sure. And the King of Atlantis art is also beautiful. Love that for Milo.
Yeah.
I know. I love he's having such a powerful moment there.
He's such a little goofball. And he's like, not anymore. King of Atlantis. Yeah. Check out my glowing fish.
I did have heartburn with the fact that there is a King Milo Thatch, but there's no Queen Kida card yet.
Just her as protector of Atlantis.
I know. She's not a queen yet. She's just... her type is princess for those two cards. Yeah. So she hasn't been promoted, but Milo got promoted. So TBD if Ravensburger is going to follow through and be like, hey, you can be a queen. Sorry, we made Milo the king. It's your place. This is your family. Sorry. He's just an in-law.
Oh, yeah. Because I was like, I was wondering if like they can be both depending on the card, but Jasmine's does that. She goes from princess.
Yeah, it's true.
So yeah, it can be done. It just hasn't yet.
I know.
Isn't that one Jasmine card? Isn't she a queen and a princess on there? Yeah.
Yeah, she gets both.
The Queen of Agrabah, Floodborn. So. It's a little... One of those things.
Although that's Floodborn, so that means it's not canonical. I always get confused that, like, when I see Floodborn, I'm like...
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, but, yeah, I'm so excited to see more cards. I
haven't gotten many for this next set, and, I mean...
No! It's crazy that...
We need the cards.
I know.
We got like the tiny taste of Baby Pegasus weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. And we tried to make conversations about it. You could tell the community is like, yeah, let's discuss. And it's like, I don't really know. It's just a little baby. I don't know what to say.
And then I saw on Twitter.
We were starved.
I saw on Twitter today that Wybreezy thinks that we're not going to get cards till after set championships. And then Jaunty was like, oh God, no, please don't. Because, you know, Jaunty makes... like talks about every single card as they're revealed and like makes those YouTube videos. And so if they're released in like a 2 or 3 week period, then Jaunty's going to be in for it.
A busy man for sure.
Yeah.
Got to work overtime.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a really hard thing to commit to, because Katie, yes. like in a couple of our first episodes, we talked about cards that were being released, and then finally we're like, no, we're not going to keep doing this. It's just like, it's too much. It takes up too much time. It's just like, enough people are doing it. Like, let's just leave that in Jaunty's wheelhouse. We can go do something else.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why we've said very publicly, we're not a news podcast. I mean, we'll talk about things that are in the news that we care about, but you're not going to hear it from us first, unfortunately.
Yeah, very
but
much.
You'll hear about it second or third, maybe 10th.
Yeah.
We have a Discord, and I feel like we get most of our news from people posting in there. They bring it right to us. It's very convenient.
Yes. Shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Live, Laugh, Lorcana Discord. That place is a great place to hang out for sure.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's fun. We have fun.
Now, since you're our first guest, that also means you're our guinea pig. So we, we're doing something we've never done on our show, and we're hoping it goes well, where we do Would You Rather. So we're going to kind of rapid fire situations, and you can either not explain it or explain your answer. Some might make sense and some might not, but we thank you in advance for participating in this madness and hoping it works.
Yay.
So the first one, it's a hard one. Would you rather pull a Kida Enchanted or an Elsa Enchanted?
Oh, that's hard. That's a hard question. Because I mean, the Elsa, do you know how much it's going for right now?
It's financially a better investment. Financially, sure. It's much better. Yeah.
I think I might have to go Elsa just for that, even though I like the art of Kida better.
It is a flex, too, because if you have the Elsa, you're like, yeah, I don't want to brag, but I have one, and I show it whenever company comes over. I'm like, oh, hello. I answer the door with it.
That's me with my Surfer Stitch Enchanted.
There you go. Yeah. Up to this point, I feel
put on my resume.
Yeah. I feel like up to this point, like, saying that you pulled an Elsa has to be, like, the biggest flex. Like, maybe winning a set championship or, like, winning a challenge event might beat that, but at this point, pulling an Elsa Enchanted, that's, like, big flex.
Yeah, that is it. That is the card.
I peaked. Yeah, I recognize that I peaked, and it's all downhill from that day. But you know, at least I peaked. At least I knew when it was.
I'm still waiting for mine.
Exactly.
So, would you rather have Wilhelmina Packard as your personal secretary, smoking her cigs, or Cookie as your personal chef?
I'm really weird about weird food. Like, I am a vegetarian, so I feel like it wouldn't work out for us. And yeah. I think Wilhelmina has, like, some spunk in her and probably could teach me a lot of good life lessons. So, all day Packard.
Yeah, and I think she'd protect you. Like, you'd get a call, and she'd be like, call back with a warrant. I mean, I don't know if you're getting warrants very frequently, but either way, she'd be... Either way, she's got your back. She's ride or die.
She is a ride or die. Yeah. And she's like all gruff and stuff, but she's just a little softy inside. No, I would hang out with her regardless.
Exactly. She sounds like she'd be perfect for a phone call too, you know. Like she could carry on a conversation. If you're down on your luck, you know, she'd pick you right back up.
Yeah. Perfect for that.
Now the next one, would you rather own an Atlantean flying machine or a brand new Porsche?
I've never like been into cars, you know, like an expensive car does not do anything for me. So a flying machine all day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Full disclosure, this morning I was writing this and I'm like, what's like the good car? And I didn't want to be like, it's not like a Honda Civic. Yeah. Like, what do people want? And I was like, is a Bugatti a car? Is that a motorcycle? So full disclosure, that was my best approximation.
Though? Is it a car? I think it's a car, right? A Bugatti?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Ducati's a motorcycle. Bugatti's a car. Okay. But I could be wrong. And I welcome
as the token male on here, I'll tell you a Bugatti is a car.
Ah.
Okay, excellent. Good. Yeah. You did
You're
it.
You're so good
Thank
at
you.
Cars, Katie.
I know. Google, what cars do people want?
Becky, would you rather apprentice under Vinny blowing things up or under Mole studying dirt and whatnot?
I am not saying I'm an arsonist, but I do think fire is fun.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
it makes me feel very powerful. And also, I've seen the way Mole interacts with Kida, and he's kind of a creep, so I don't want to hang out with him.
Yeah.
Vinny.
Yeah. He's a workplace violation.
And he has a flower shop. I mean, like, win, win, win. I love houseplants. Like, easy answer.
Yeah. I did struggle with this one because I was like, last weekend I did admittedly buy $50 worth of crystals. I don't know what happened. I got lost in the crystal shop of totally like, this is going to make my life better.
Okay. I didn't even think about minerals. I was thinking more like rocks.
Just dirt.
But yeah. Obviously, yeah. He's getting the good stuff. That's a good point.
Makes it a little harder to decide. Maybe cheaper.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, right. That's why I was like, well, this it could be. Let's let him cook with his rocks. So the next one, it's more topical, timely. Would you rather win a Disney Lorcana challenge event or visit Atlantis?
Oh, my God. See, this is why this is... I am an anxious traveler, and, like, I'm also afraid of water. So I feel like the submarine voyage... And you remember what happened to the last submarine that had a bunch of people in it that was rich? That didn't end well.
It was a limited-time adventure.
So... this sounds absolutely bonkers, but like, I want to win the challenge.
I feel that's good because, you know, we actually had a ticket to Atlantis that we were going to get.
Oh my God.
I don't know what to do with it. But
so awkward for me, but did you,
I know,
did you get a challenge ticket for Atlanta or no?
No, it was only one way because we were like, well, obviously she'll pick the Atlantis one. But no, I feel you, because one time I went to a cave when I was little and we were in like the deep part of it. And I was like, I'm a kid. I don't think about it. And suddenly we heard this gush of water. And like in that moment, I experienced what it is to be immortal. I was like, oh, wait, this is bad. And like I immediately was like overcome with fear.
Totally.
Like I never felt before. So people shouldn't be under the earth. We need to be above it. We're not meant to be below. That's
a good point.
It's just science.
I'm with you.
And what's better than being, you know, about 3 or 4 feet above the ground, sitting at a table, playing Lorcana with someone you don't know, beating them to win a challenge event.
And you win.
And I'm going to win.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get all the fancy cards. Ugh. Yeah, that would feel very good.
It would.
So for the last one, would you rather have Milo be your in-car navigator or have Milo be the host of the only podcast you're allowed to listen to?
I'm a huge Michael J. Fox fan. Like,
yeah,
always have been, probably always will be. But I do really like the character of Milo Thatch. I'd want to hang out with him in person. I think that's
okay.
Yeah.
And if we're hanging out in the car together, we can like talk about stuff. I think, he's gonna be my navigator.
Yeah, and he only killed like 200 people. It's fine. You'll get there. You get there. It's just
Katie. It was a mistake. Yeah, it was Lyle Tiberius Work's fault. I stand by that.
Yeah, that's true. He was like, I did my best. Honestly, you're the one that put this many people.
Had the book. He had no other contribution to that whole shenanigans. Yeah.
He did nothing wrong, and we'll stand by 100%. That.
I mean, and there's also these huge sea creatures. So, I mean, they shoulder the responsibility a little bit, maybe.
That's true. Nobody asked them to do that.
Yeah. They could have just stayed out of the way.
Could have.
So. Yeah. But, I mean, to be fair, and they're probably bored. How often do they see a submarine? So,
that's true.
You know, I'll defend them too.
Considering it's been a while, they really snapped into action pretty quickly, and that should be commended.
Exactly. They're like, honestly, we haven't sunk a ship in a while. This is thrilling.
We needed this.
But you do make a good point. Exactly. If you're going to go on a cross-country, you know, road trip with someone, I feel like Milo would be a good hang. Becky, thank you so much for playing our first Would You Rather, and more importantly, thank you for being our very first guest. Before we say goodbye, where can people find and follow you, and you know, where's your show and your Discord, all that kind of stuff?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me, though. This was so much fun. You guys are excellent and wonderful, and like, don't tell the other Katie, but she might have some competition for coolest podcast Katie. So,
well, all Katies are always at war with each other. That's just a well-known accepted fact. Something happened and there's just 5 years where there are infinite Katies and we've all been fighting. That's so true. I'll accept that that's an ongoing battle.
I was thinking, like, because there's a third Katie as well. I forget what show she's on, but I was thinking, like, we should go to elementary school rules where you guys have to put your first initial of your last name after the Katie. But don't actually.
That would be funny. Yeah. I would chuckle.
Exactly. I mean, I will not lie. I've been in that situation many times. One time we went at summer camp, they're like, you can be Katie, you're Kate, you're Catherine, and you're Caitlin. And we're like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Rebecca, so that's pretty common as well. So been there as well. But anyway, it was really fun. It was wonderful meeting you guys. Our podcast, Live, Laugh, Loricata, is on all your major podcast platforms. We're on YouTube, and you can also hang out with us on Twitter and Instagram. So, go team.
Awesome. Exactly. Yeah, no, your podcast is always a fun time. I always feel like I'm, like, hanging out with two cool people. And I'm like, I'm in the room. I'm not saying much, but I'm hanging out with them. Aww. So, definitely.
Best friends.
It's kind of how I felt tonight. Like, I was just, like, in a room hanging out with two cool people. I was like, these ladies got all the fun stories. Let them go for it.
Aww. Yeah. As women in TCG spaces, we don't get enough screen time. So. I know.
Well, it's awesome to have you on. So again, thank you.
It was so wonderful, really. Thank you so much.
And thank you to the listeners for joining us for another Bonus Feature Friday. So if there's anything else you want to hear us talk about, like I said, it could be anything. Disney Lurkana related, parks, I'll do it. So please feel free to email us at questions@HakunaLurkanaPod.com, or you can reach us on Twitter @HakunaLurkana. And as always, thank you for hanging out with us. And until next time, Hakuna Lurkana means no worries.